Hello, everybody. This is Ben Starr with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And welcome back to The Positive Mind. If you've been listening this month, month of January 2016, you've heard that it's been me flying solo here since Julian was away, but I'm pleased to say that today, Julian Joiello is back in the studio with us.
Hey, hey, hey.
It's great to have you back, Julian.
Yes, I'm great. It's great to be back here in the post-blizzard New York City, which is very, very different from the climate of Taiwan.
That's right. Well, you know, I didn't tell anyone where you went, so I thought I'd let you tell everyone.
Yeah, I actually been on a three-week trip to visit family and just have a bit of a break from New York City in Japan and Taiwan. And
how was that?
Quite an experience. I mean, I don't want to talk too much about it because we got a lot to talk about today, but very, very exciting. Taiwan is a kind of like a village metropolis, is what I've kind of concluded. That Taipei, especially, is this modern, exciting. I mean, they have one of the tallest buildings in the world. They've got one of the biggest economies in the world, fastest trains, all this kind of stuff. But they have this village mentality, kind of like mainland China. And these people are very polite and kind and fast, and they live in this modern metropolis. So it's great to see the contrast between New York City's sort of insanity and the almost humble but quick and practical style of Taiwan.
Incredible. And you know something? When we spoke on the phone yesterday, you were telling me about the trip and how you really enjoyed your time away, but that coming back here, coming back home to New York, was also a revelation in a lot of ways. And it got me to thinking about the idea of traveling, of getting out of our comfort zone, right, of going away. Right. And I thought we should explore that and talk about that today.
I mean, it's a really interesting topic. I think a lot of people are traveling right now, or if they're not, they're wishing they were traveling somewhere because their door is covered in 27 inches of snow.
Well, I'll admit it, Julian. I was jealous of you going all the way around the world. And
honestly, I was happy to land on this this blizzard delayed covered flight path that I landed on. I thought it was beautiful. I love being back.
Well, you were supposed to get in Saturday, weren't you?
I was, and I ended up coming in Sunday, but it was a great feeling to land back here. I mean, after a long trip, which felt like almost a year, it was only 3 weeks. The time slows down in that way because there was so much packed into every day. And we don't have to talk about my trip too much, but I do want to talk about travel today.
Absolutely.
For sure. And what travel is to you, what travel is to people, what it does to you. You know, in psychology, a travel kind of, to simplify it, travel takes you out of your home, right? I mean, you're taking a trip, literally, often getting on a plane or taking a long bus ride, train ride, car ride,
bike ride.
I don't know if anybody's biked across the East Coast, but that must be a very interesting experience. But, you know, you've got movies like Motorcycle Diaries where you're riding a motorcycle all through South America, and these experiences often are linked to very visceral, cathartic moments in people's lives. When you travel somewhere else, it's a culture shock. You go somewhere and boom, the language is different. Everything is different. The way people interact with each other, I went to Japan and the politeness there, the politeness is the most important thing. I mean, there was one point when I was at a restaurant with my friends and we left, and it was so important to the waitress to bow very deeply and say thank you, that she ran out up the stairs, because this restaurant was downstairs, ran up the stairs after us just to yell arigatou gozaimasu and bow perhaps below her waist. She got such a deep bow.
So I guess that's the mark of a deep bow then.
Right, yeah, really, really. I mean, to the point it was like, you know, are we kings here? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, well, you know, if I was in a culture like that, my concern would be, am I reflecting and reciprocating the right amount of politeness?
Right.
Because I don't know.
Well,
I know what's considered polite for where I'm coming from,
right,
but I want to be, you know, as polite as possible in catering towards the local customers.
Right, and it was amazing being on a train, for example, in Tokyo. And, I mean, really, you know, you've seen those videos, I'm sure if you've seen them on TV or on YouTube or whatever, of the trains and how packed they get. I mean, they really do get that packed. And our first day coming from the airport, We get on the train in Shibuya, which is the equivalent of Times Square, but you know, 10 times brighter and 10 times more people in Tokyo. And they've got, you know, maybe 5 to 10 guys pushing people into the train.
I've heard of that.
You know, pushing you in, and it's dead silent in this train, and that's the crazy part. You're sitting there saying,
"No Showtime kids."
No Showtime kids. No kids flipping their hats, and nobody doing flips of any kind. No dancing. No music. It's silent, dead silent, and you're, you know,
no subway preachers.
Nothing. And it was such an interesting experience coming from New York subways, which are, I'm sure they've been packed like that, maybe during rush hour. But they're loud, they're aggressive, there are people pushing through, there are people you know, cursing at each other, and there it was totally silent. It was like, let's accept this, we are here, we are sardines in this
train.
Stuck
on the same boat.
We're on the same boat together, and it was very interesting. I mean, and I was looking at my friends and I was saying, my God, it's quieter than my room in this train with over 1,000 people in each car. And I'm like, oh my God, you know.
Amazing.
It was really, really surreal, and it was a great... a taste of Japanese culture and culture shock for me, beginning of that for me in Japan.
All right. Well, there's something I wanted to ask you about, and that is, where do you see the difference between travel and tourism? Because I know that you mentioned that you had seen family on this trip to Taiwan, and that's sort of a personal journey that you take, and I think it's distinguished from tourism. I mean, when I think of some of the busiest and most populated world cities,
right,
most visited world cities, I think of places like maybe Bangkok or Paris or Dubai, Las
right.
Vegas. I mean, these are places with an insane
amount of tourism.
Presence.
Yeah, I mean, the tourism is what like dictates their economy almost in these kind of countries and cities. And it's interesting also, because that leads to this idea that when you get to Bangkok, which is, you know, Thailand, if I haven't been to Thailand personally, but I know a lot of people that are from there have been. And when you go to Bangkok, if you decide to be a tourist in Bangkok, you will be staying at the Hilton in Bangkok. You will perhaps never leave the Hilton campus. And it's possible to just never have really an authentic, quote unquote, authentic experience in Bangkok with, you know, and you can go there for a week and really just only be at the Hilton and eat at an American restaurant, and that's possible there because the tourism is such a big part of that city.
I definitely want to explore this more with you, Julian. We're going to take a short break. We're having some problems with our FM signal, so we're going to play some music and get that sorted out for you, and we'll be back after this short musical break.
It's very nice to go traveling to Paris, London, and Rome. It's oh so nice to go traveling, but it's so much nicer, yes, it's so much nicer to come home. It's very nice to just wander the camel route to Iraq. It's oh so nice to just wander, but it's so much nicer, yes, it's oh so nice to wander back. The mamsels and fräulein and the senoritas are sweet, but they can't compete, 'cause they just don't have what the models have on Madison Ave. It's very nice to be footloose with just a toothbrush and comb. It's oh so nice to be footloose, but your heart starts singing when you're homeward winging across the foam. And you know your fate is where the Empire State is. All you contemplate is the view from Miss Liberty's dome. It's very nice to go traveling, but it's oh so nice to come home.
Frank Sinatra, It's Nice to Go Traveling, here on WBAI New York. You're tuned into The Positive Mind. I'm your host, Ben Starr. Thrilled to be joined once again in the studio by Julian Joiello.
Yes,
great to have you back.
Yes, that's me. That's me. And sorry for anybody who's having any signal problems here. We've got a little bit of a connection deficit happening between us and WBAI. Just stay tuned. We'll be here until 2 p.m., most definitely uninterrupted. And if you want to hear this and hear it maybe perhaps without these little dips, we'll be on the archives after 2 p.m. and on the podcast through iTunes and thepositivemind.com. So you can find us all over the place on the internet afterwards, too.
Absolutely. And we'd always love to hear from you. As usual, you can send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. Send us your travel stories. Send us your anecdotes. We want to hear, you know, how travel has impacted and affected your life.
Absolutely.
And we were talking before we took a short break about travel versus tourism.
Yeah, and that's an interesting subject. We were talking about it before, right before we started the show, and it's a really great way to look at all of this, because you can go, again, you can go to a country, never have that quote-unquote authentic experience, and go home and say, I went to Thailand, but I mean, I lived in a very Western room, ate Western food, and you know, had a Western experience.
And here's the thing, Julian, about the world that we live in today, and why I think when we go somewhere else, it's important to be a traveler rather than a tourist. You can go to a completely different country, and you could stay in a Holiday Inn or a Hilton. You could have an IHOP for breakfast, a McDonald's lunch, and Applebee's for dinner. And it would almost be as though you never left.
Right.
And that sort of globalized experience is now opened up worldwide.
Yeah.
And in that sense, it's almost like, well, why travel?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I have to say, when I go out to, especially in Taiwan, I've got family there. I've taken Mandarin classes so I can speak the language to a point where I can get around. I can talk to a taxi driver. I can ask a question of a restaurant, say, do you have this? Can you put this in my food or not? And it becomes to the point where I say, I don't want to go to these touristy places. I mean, there's some really cool ones, but I want to go to the places that the locals enjoy, what represents good music for them, what represents good food for them. And having that experience is so different, because I remember the first time I went to Taiwan, it was all about the tourism. It was all about seeing the biggest tower, the biggest site. And this time around, it's been my third time in Taiwan, and it's so valuable to see what their music scene is like, for example, their indie rock music scene.
Sure.
You know, it's so different, and it's so dramatically different and based in politics and, you know, a lot of rebellion in their personal experience. So it's interesting, because all of a sudden you're like, wait, this is what the reality
is.
Wasn't
there a big election while you were there?
There was, and actually a woman was elected president in Taiwan, one of the very few countries in the world where we have a woman president, other than Germany. And I mean, I think it's maybe 22 countries have women.
Out of like 200 something.
Right, and most of them are not, you know, the largest powerful countries, and as our election comes up, you know, it's an interesting topic to consider.
Absolutely. We're talking about traveling, tourism, and having an open heart and an open mind in visiting different places. I think there's something to be said about routine, Julian.
Yeah.
When we're here at home, it's very easy and often advantageous to establish a regular routine.
Right. And we were saying, you know, you've got your routine where you get your cup of coffee at the same cart because
right.
you like the way the
alarm
guy
rings
makes it for you.
Same time right. every morning.
You know, it's like Groundhog Day, where you wake up every day, do the same thing, and it all kind of melts together. And there's something that works for a lot of people. There's a lot of people who say, this routine grounds me.
It's makes a strategy.
Me not stressed out as much because I feel more secure. And then when I do something that deviates from the norm, I feel safer and I feel more able to do that.
But, and not only that, I become more efficient
right.
at getting through my day.
Right. It takes you 20 minutes to get there instead of 45, because you don't have to decide what to eat. You don't have to decide what to wear. You've got it all done. But there is that value to breaking out of the routine here, especially when you travel. If it's not traveling out of the country because maybe it's too expensive or maybe it's too difficult, you don't have the time to break away from work, what is it maybe to just travel down a different road?
Exactly.
On the way home.
And we spoke about that with Armand. I mean,
yeah.
how just the simple concept of taking a different route home from work, or taking a different route than you're used to, just a different street, is really just can be a very empowering and interesting thing to do.
Absolutely. And if you're getting a little interference right now, sorry about that. Again, our connection's a little unstable right now from us to WBAI, but thank you for staying tuned in. But yeah, we're talking about travel and tourism and the what kind of happens to the human psyche when you leave, what you're secure. And so, you know, we fall into these habits and these routines because they feel secure, right?
Right. I mean, they're comforting.
Who doesn't like comfort? I mean, you've got comfort. I mean, there's a select few of people who are saying, I'd never want to be comfortable. But even them find a routine in not being comfortable. I think there's a way of finding...
That's an interesting point.
I think there's a very interesting place where you can be at home, constantly not being at home. And again, if you're tuned in right now and getting a little bit of delay, we're really sorry about that. This connection is kind of funky today, perhaps because of the snowstorm or some construction of the building. But thank you for staying tuned to The Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. And I'm Julian Joiello, back in the U.S. in New York City with Ben Starr here, your hosts.
Yeah, it's great to be back, Julian. And again, we do apologize for these technical difficulties. As always, we are available in our entirety on the iTunes stream. So you're always welcome to look us up on the iTunes store. You can get every episode in its entirety when we do rarely, occasionally run into these sort of issues.
Absolutely. And what we're talking about, I think, is a really exciting idea, too. I mean, I know several people who have lived almost exclusively abroad, in places where they move every year to another place, another home. And the lifestyle of not having a place to really go back to where they feel, you know, they've got friends there that they've been friends with for over 20 years. They've got, you know, they know how the sink works and how to fix it because they've been there so long. When you don't have a home that's like that, what happens to you?
When you're sort of a traveling nomad?
Yeah, when you kind of live that traveling, like let's say your parents are military or, you know, your job
that's a common one.
Brings you around a lot. I have a lot of friends who've lived in every state in the U.S., lived in military bases, and it's really exciting because they find their home somewhere else. And I think it ends up seeping into the personality a little
bit.
Well,
they find a non-physical concept of home.
Right. So
they find home within a passion or a love or a person.
Right. And what you tend to find is yeah, right, it kind of manifests itself somewhere else. So you've got this person who lives constantly on the road. When they settle down, perhaps they don't ever feel comfortable when they're in one place for too long. Perhaps they say, I mean, they often complain about it, being, you know, oh, I never have a home. This is very difficult for me. But in fact, being on the road ends up being their secure place. And for those who have been in one place for their entire life, who've maybe never left their parents' neighborhood, I know this is a bit of a strange idea to hear, but it really does exist. And I think people do really find their home wherever they go. And the human ability to adapt is so interesting to me.
It sure is. And we've talked about the hedonic treadmill. I think just a few months ago we were discussing right. The concept of that, which basically says that as people, the human condition is that we get used to almost anything, rather whether positive or negative. We can get used to immense challenges, and we can get used to absolutely luxurious comfort and anything in between. And what happens is that our happiness level sort of finds a resting place in the middle. If you want to consider it like a treadmill, right? No matter how fast the treadmill is going, the person on the treadmill will always be somewhere in the middle of the treadmill, matching the speed of the treadmill.
Right. The analogy here is the hedonic treadmill. You kind of blew over it, but it is a really exciting topic, and we did talk about it a couple months ago, and it's all about that human ability to adapt and kind of find a medium level of happiness in no matter what's happening. So let's say you're the person who won the Powerball lotto, and all of a sudden you're elated, freaking out, and then you've got all this money, and then all of a sudden in a month or two or maybe a year, you're back to the same level or even less of happiness, long-term happiness that you were in before. And so you realize slowly that there's different things that are factors in making you happy that perhaps aren't related to just single-time experiences or material experiences.
Let me ask you a travel question. You just got back from Taiwan.
Right.
What is that the furthest you've been both, you know, through distance and culturally and spiritually from home?
The most shocking place I've been culturally wasn't as far, but a 15-hour flight was to Abu Dhabi.
Okay.
In the UAE. It was just, the Middle East is just such a different place to me. I mean, not only could I not speak the language, but the people there looked at me like I was a foreigner. I mean, in Taiwan, they kind of are excited about everything. They're like, oh, look at this person. I've never seen a foreigner, because there's just no foreigners there, because it's just not a popular tourist place. It's sort of like, mm-hmm. again, I was talking about this village mentality. It feels like right. you're in their village, and they're like, oh, look at this cool village guy, like visiting us in our, in our, you know, our village.
Right.
And, I mean, it's, again, beautiful metropolis. Just, you know, I like the humility.
So Abu Dhabi, though, that's the, that's
sort
of like
Abu Dhabi, yeah, you walk through and it's like, I don't know the rules here. Mm. I've gotten to this place. I don't know what the rules are. I feel like I'm breaking half of them constantly.
Unwittingly.
I mean, you're not, culturally, you're not really supposed to be holding hands, or let alone any kind of PDA with a significant other in that country. There were times when I would be like, I'd be in a beautiful, serene place and not totally feel safe, because I don't know what could be around the corner or what I'm supposed to do. Or I would try to take a video or a photo of something, and then I'd be yelled at by somebody in the city just for doing that in the first place. And it was a strange feeling, because I felt so out of place, yet it seemed like I shouldn't feel that way because it was so beautiful.
And modern, I've heard.
And very modern. Very modern, very strong economy. You know, they have a lot going on there, and it was a very interesting experience. Culturally, for sure, the biggest shock, I think.
Yeah, for me, it was not as far geographically, but I actually visited my sister in Guatemala a year ago, when she was working there and living there, and I had never experienced a culture or a place like that. Both culturally, I mean, I do have some basic Spanish skills, which helped.
Right. Yeah.
But as far as like the culture, and I had never seen, you know, global poverty.
Right.
I had seen, you know, poverty in the United States, which is
right.
one
You've
thing,
got-
but when you see the sort of poverty on the global scale, it's a whole different ballgame, and that really had an impact on me.
Yeah, and these kind of impacts are so important to our lives as human beings, I think. They become these kind of checkpoints in our life that pull us out of our routine, or that shock us out a little bit and keep us realizing that there's a lot more that we don't know about. And I think the awareness is the most important part.
Sure, and openness.
Right.
For me, a big part of it is openness. I mean,
right.
we talked about routine, breaking out of that. Think about the person who is really, really on this strict, consistent, almost orthodox routine, where they have the same habits, the same tendencies. You know, they may be the kind of person who is an extremely picky eater. Now, there's one, right? The picky eater. That is a whole personality right there. Think about the picky eaters that you know.
Right.
And I think it opens up to a much...
Right. The people that only eat white bread and pasta, and then they go to India and they say, oh my God, I literally can get none of that here.
Right. And so travel almost forces your heart open, almost forces you to experience and accept and open yourself to an entire new way of doing things, an entire new way of looking at the world, at looking at life. And it's, I think it can be very beneficial, even within the United States. I mean, think about how completely different this country is state to state.
Right.
I mean, you're in New York, you drive a couple hours up to New England, that's a whole different country practically. You fly a couple hours down south, down to Florida, that's like a whole different country. And there's people down there and people up there, and you see what it is that, wow, there's a whole world out there with people living their lives, and this could be my life too.
Right.
And that sort of flips the mentality a bit. I want to hear from our listeners after the break about their travel stories and how travel impacted them.
Right. And we really want to hear about, less so about perhaps that amazing mountain hike, and more about how that amazing mountain hike affected you.
Right.
What that did to you, what how that affected your, you know, what you felt like coming back to New York or Jersey or wherever you are right now. You know, How does that change the way you eat breakfast every morning when you've finally seen this sunset from the other side of the world?
Yep.
What does that do to you?
And it doesn't have to be a huge trip. I mean, for example, a few summers ago, Julian, I drove out to Western Pennsylvania with a group of friends, and we went camping in the woods out there for a few days. And it was only a 4 or 5 day trip. And yet on the way back, I'll never forget this, crossing the Triborough Bridge, and the whole city is lit up, and it was a bit foggy, and you know, the fog is sort of rolling across the East River, and just seeing the city, and it had been less than a week since I had been gone.
Right.
But it felt like a completely different place, and that's because I had gone to the complete opposite of the city.
Right.
I went out into the woods, away from everything.
No, I mean, I think there's definitely a way to take a trip or travel somewhere without necessarily getting on a 20-hour flight somewhere. I mean,
of course.
You can, again, we were saying before, if you can't afford to fly to Thailand, or you can't afford to, you know, take a trip to a Euro trip around Germany and Italy and France, what is it like to take a different subway line home? What is it like to walk home? I mean, I don't know if you've ever, for those New Yorkers out there, if you've ever just taken a bus from like Cloisters down to the bottom of Manhattan, a beautiful experience. I don't look outside at the differences that occur as you drive from 220th Street to 14th Street, but so much happens. You witness all of these neighborhoods constantly changing, ones that I had no idea were there, and I'm 23 and I'm in New York, you know what I mean, my whole life. And it's just, it's incredible. And you can go on that kind of trip for $1.50. You know what I mean? It's possible.
Yeah, no, it's definitely true in a city like New York, right, that there's always a new experience, always a new trip, right, to be had, always a, you know, a far-flung, interesting restaurant to go visit. I mean, there's some places way up in the Bronx that that I've been really meaning to go to for a while now. And I think I'm going to have to make that happen soon.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's true. Like, you can get on the subway and for, what is it now, $2.75, is it one way?
$2.75,
yeah. Yeah, I usually pick up the unlimiteds.
Yeah, I'm a 7 day unlimited guy.
Yeah. I mean, you have to do it if you're riding the train all the time.
Yeah, you guys know how it is. And you're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, The Positive Mind. And I'm Julian Joiello back here hosting with Ben Starr, of course.
And it's so good to have you back.
Dude, so great to have you
back.
Yeah,
it's great. Dude. It's great, dude. It's great dude. That you're here.
But seriously, and thank you so much for staying tuned through all of our little hiccups we've been having. And we've got some really interesting music coming from a place that is not nearby.
Yeah.
A decade that's not nearby.
We wanted to break the mold today.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is what it's kind of all about, taking a trip somewhere else. And this song will take you most definitely to a different place. But yeah, stay tuned to 99.5 FM. Coming up, we're going to be taking phone calls. You can call us at 212-757-5555. 212-757-5555 is our call-in number here.
How does it feel to say that number again?
Great. I don't even have to look at it. It's just right there in my head. And we want to talk to you about what kind of effect perhaps one specific trip had on you and your psyche and how it felt to be back.
Or a challenging trip. Was there a time you went away and it was really difficult?
Yeah, it's also possible that, you know, you went away, had a great experience, felt like everything was different, and then a week later everything was the same again. So that's very possible too. So we want to hear all about that from you. 212-757-5555. Stay tuned. We'll play a little bit of music and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
And that was I Want to Be Your Lover from the album Electric Cambodia. An assortment of awesome music from the 60s, I believe, in Cambodia.
It gives me the chills.
Yeah, and that was Pan Ron singing on there, but several other artists, all from Cambodia. Really good stuff. Not related to Taiwan and Japan, but still very interesting stuff to take you to another place.
We're taking you traveling through the history and time of music.
Yeah, there's actually a great website I love sharing with people. If you've got a computer in front of you, it's called radiowith5os.com. You get to choose any decade and any country in the world, and it'll play random music.
Yeah, I remember when you showed that website to Armand and me. And
we listened to a bunch of 50s and 40s Italian music, I think, for a while. It was fantastic.
And Armand was going crazy playing with it. He was going all over the map, all over through time.
Well, yeah, it's kind of fun to just kind of choose a mystery spot. Let's say you choose, Germany in the 60s. It's really great to hear what they were doing back then.
Or like Zimbabwe in the 1970s.
Yeah, you can actually even go back to like 1900s and hear what's going on. And, you know, it's like really weird, old, crappy recordings of the United States stuff. And it's good. It's good stuff. It's really, really exciting. Anyways, we've got Tina on the line. Tina, you still there?
I'm here.
Hey Tina.
Great voice.
Hi.
I love that voice. So bright and energetic. I love it. So you've been tuned in to our show for the first half hour. How are you feeling about all this that we're talking about?
I like the subject. I've traveled a lot and had a lot of insights when I would come back. And one of the things that I would think about when I came back to New York would be like how everything is open all the time here. What a gluttonous.
Yeah, everything's 24 hours, you mean? You can deliver it?
You know, it would just be like going to the grocery store. There would be, they happen to be out of bread. They happen to be out of whatever it is that you want. And here, we're just so privilege, even when you're not, even when you're a poor person in New York, in Europe, it is a totally different thing.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Absolutely.
What else? I feel like it opens up your mind to just be in a to be able to travel and know what is happening in other parts of the world, it gives you more freedom in your mind to understand life. Really, it's like, it almost just gives you, like, instead of like living this life where you go to work and then you come home and then you watch your TV.
Right, like, that's that routine we were talking about.
Yeah,
well, let me ask you a question,
more
Tina.
More possibilities in life.
Let me ask you a question, actually a two-part question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You said you've traveled a lot. What was the longest trip you did?
We would be on the road for 3 months at a time.
Okay.
Traveling.
And the second part of my question is, have you ever felt after a long trip when you're coming home that it's almost difficult to reintegrate? What I mean by that is, the culture shock, do you ever go away and feel like you changed a lot and you come back and everything here stayed the same?
Oh, it's really hard to reintegrate. You feel like almost like, it's almost like an alien. Like you feel like a totally different person.
Totally different person, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And where was that? Where was that 3 month trip? Was that what part of the world?
Most of our trip, it was. I'm part of a traveling troupe, family thing, all over Europe, UK, living in Scotland for a long time, and then Norway or whatever. It's just like places like that where you walk down the street and dressed as I dress, which isn't that out there, and people just laugh in your face. I mean, it's
wow.
In New York, you can do whatever.
Well, that's true. In New York, you really can do whatever.
Have people go, just laugh at us. And I'll be like, okay, all right.
All right.
So I'm just trying to go on with my day. So yeah,
It's also an interesting experience having that moment of all of a sudden you've got all this attention that you've never really had. You know, in New York, everybody's kind of – it's pretty common to be rebelling against the norm here. But, you know, when I went to Taiwan, Taiwan is 99% Taiwanese people. So if you're just basically any kind of foreigner, everybody's sort of looking at you with this not anger or anything like that. It's much more of like a – oh my God, look at that. Well, I've never seen that before. And that's an interesting experience, too, to kind of be noticed much more than you were before. And I'm sure that affects us in an interesting way, too.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, too, about the clothing.
Exactly. I think the main thing is just it gives you more freedom to just open yourself up more, you know, just like to be who you are and know that there's a huge world out there.
Absolutely.
And, you know, kind of just get over it. Just get over yourself. Like, just do what you need to do. And it's just, you know, when you're in this little world and you're in your little phone and you're in your, you just think that the world, you know, it's like it all is about you. No, it's not. There's a lot going on out there.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Tina, for sharing with us. And we're going to try to get a couple more callers in today before we end our program. But thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks,
fantastic
Tina.
Hearing from you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
212-757-5555 is the number to call. We'd love to hear your travel stories, not just your travel stories, but what it meant to you and how it affected you, how it affected your heart, how it shaped you, how it changed your outlook, how it may have affected you on a deep level, on a deep level. And it's funny that Tina mentions, you know, in New York, you can almost do whatever you want. She's talking about the way that she was dressed when she was traveling. And I think that's really true. I mean, I know there's a man in Queens who wears really just very, very interesting outfits, right? Every single color of the rainbow and colors I didn't know existed. And in a very just different style, completely different. And he rides a bicycle and he has a parrot with him. I don't know if any of you have seen this person, but, you know, I've seen him around and... And the first time you see this person, you notice it because it's something you're not used to seeing, but you look around and you realize that in his neighborhood, this is a person who's very well known and it's sort of accepted as well. Yeah, that's just how it is. And, you know, you walk around Manhattan, and you can see people dressed in all kinds of ways that, you know, in other places might be considered extreme or even outlandish, but here, you know, it's really no big deal. And when we travel, we see that that's not the case everywhere necessarily.
Very interesting point. We've got Joe on the line. Joe, hey, how you doing?
I'm doing very good. And I just wanted to say, first of all, that you guys are doing a great job taking over Armand's mantle. It was something greatly wise on his part. That he chose you too.
Well, thank you, Joe.
Thank you so much. That means a lot.
And also, you know, the interviews that you've been doing, Ben, with people, very professional, very professional.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
So it's just been great. My experience in traveling was to Mexico and Central America 45 years ago as a teenager. And that was like 10 years, after 10 years of very much negativity here in this country after the whole Vietnam experience. And going to those countries and seeing how things were not as organized as well. Things were fairly unpredictable. There was, problems with crime and things like that. When I came back to the United States, I saw how much we really had here. And I've been pretty much appreciative ever since. And it's really helped me get things in focus and be appreciative even not having a whole lot myself, but still being able to enjoy life.
I completely understand, Joe, and I had the same experience coming back from Guatemala when I saw, you know, the real world, so to speak, out there, and how people live beyond this country. It really opened my eyes to how fortunate and how much we do have here, even. When we're struggling, most people here tend to have running water and electricity, and a lot of people have automobiles and televisions. So, yeah, I can relate to that.
One thing also is that I was 6'6" with red hair traveling through Mexico and Central
Fantastic.
America.
Fantastic.
And so obviously I was a huge celebrity everywhere I went.
I'm sure, yeah. You were probably, I mean, people probably thought you were a giant.
A giant and the red hair. I mean, people were just dumbfounded. And so it was very, very interesting. So I don't think when we travel somewhere or we go to a place where people are a different race, I don't think that we really need to be thinking that they're thinking badly about us or negatively about us. I think it's just like when we see people of different cultures and backgrounds here in this country, we don't, most of us are not thinking hateful thoughts. We're thinking curious thoughts.
That's an excellent point.
Something that we can take when we're traveling in a place that's a different culture or a different race.
Absolutely. And thank you, Joe, for sharing that. It's great to hear, you know, how people outside of us are feeling about all this. And there is such an importance to just having an awareness of what lies on the other side of even just a different state. But, I mean, really, when you get out of the country, it can be much more extreme. And the awareness allows you to live a much different life when you get back home.
And, thanks for letting me give my spiel.
Yeah,
well, thank you, Joe. Thank you also
spiel.
For the kind words. We appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah. Goodbye now.
Take care.
Thank you very much.
Let's take a few more calls. 212-757-5555 is the number to call. That's 212-757-5555. We'd love to hear how travel changed your world, changed your heart and your mind. And how the experience marked you.
Yeah, 212-757-5555. We're still getting a couple of these hiccups. I think it seems to be something coming on WBAI's, and I know that there was some stuff going on with during Gary Knoll's show, but please stay tuned. We will continue bringing you content, and all day, you know, of course, 24 hours, WBAI is broadcasting here. But thank you for dealing with us with these connection issues.
Yes, most definitely. So once again, number to call here, 212-757-5555. You're listening to 99.5 FM WBAI in New York City. I'm your host, Ben Starr, here joined in the studio once again by our good friend, Julian Joiello, who we missed very much and we're very happy is back here on the show. And we're talking about traveling and the difference between traveling and being a traveler versus being a tourist.
Yeah, and also
it's
how
a very
that,
important distinction.
How that affects your routine and your lifestyle, what kind of happens when you come back. I think that's really exciting, too. We've got Cynthia on the line. Cynthia, are you there?
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Hello.
We're doing great.
Yes, as the last caller just said, you guys are doing a great job. It's perfect timing. I just returned Sunday night from a trip back from Panama. And
fantastic. Wow.
I've been going there for the past 5 years or so, and I'm really, really grateful that my boyfriend suggested way back when to go there because it has totally changed my life.
So interesting. I'm curious, how has it changed your return home the first time you went to Panama and then now after going there for these last 5 years? What sort of, does it play the same kind of shock or is it, do you feel more at home in Panama now than you do here? Well, what kind of effect has that had on you?
Well, the first time we went, you know, my boyfriend is from England. He was very into birding, and there's some very well-known places where the Smithsonian studies and blah, blah, blah. We had a great time, and then we went back the following year, and that's when we decided that we want to move there.
Birding, huh?
I love New York. I'm a native New Yorker. You know, my family is still here. I, you know, have wonderful life, friends, family, job. However, there's something in my heart for Panama. I think it's being closer to nature. The people are just wonderful. And
so when you go there, you do a lot of birding, meaning you go out into nature and look at all these beautiful and exotic rare birds?
We do, and actually, you know,
it's
now
marvelous.
After going for so many years, we've basically put the 5-year plan in place, which is now coming to the closing, the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. But we do own properties. I mean, yes, just a few days ago, I walked out of one of my houses, and, saw toucans, right, in the tree across the street.
Incredible.
So, I mean, it's really just been an overwhelming positive experience. And, I can sing the praises.
If you would sum up your experience of Panama in three words, what words would you use?
Happy, dancing, singing.
That sounds like my kind of place.
Yeah, it's...
I think I'm going to Panama next.
Yeah. I highly recommend it. And, I was listening to the show, and I was like, oh, my God, I have to call in. And I'm glad I got through.
I'm so glad you did, Cynthia.
And it has changed my perspective on New York as well. The rat race, so to speak. I've discovered that, all of the material things, that we strive for, the new iPhone, the new this, the new that, the car, the watch, the clothes, it really means nothing. What matters is your friends, your family, good food, good times, really back to the basics. And I guess that's my message in calling today. So,
well, thank you. We really love to hear from you, and it's, I'm very happy that you found a home away from home, so to speak, Cynthia.
Thank you. And keep up the good work. I love the show. And who knows? Maybe I'll call in the future.
We would love that. Take care, Cynthia. Thanks again.
Have a great day. Bye.
I think we may have time for one more short call.
What do you think? Yeah, yeah, we definitely.
A brief call,
yeah,
if you would. Tell us where you've been. How it affected you.
212-757-5555. Let's just get one little bit in there from someone else. What kind of experience did you have when you arrived back from the place you've been traveling? And maybe you just travel around to a different neighborhood. And what does that do for you?
And maybe it was a struggle. Maybe the culture shock was painful. That's a possibility. That is a possibility. That jet lag can be tough, folks. It really can. And sometimes it really is difficult to go away and even more difficult to come home. So, we want to hear your experiences. We do have time for one more brief phone call before we have to do some sort of housekeeping work and sign off for today.
Absolutely. This is Vreni we've got on the line. Vreni?
Yes. Hi. I have traveled in 68 for 5 months. I was a young girl, and it was a very eye-opening experience. I hadn't seen the world yet, and I was eager to learn more about different cultures.
Where did you travel?
I lived at the time in Australia, and I had to get back home to help my parents, and I was afraid I was never going to be able to leave again, so I wanted to make a long trip, so I traveled for 5 months. I went to Tasmania first for 2 weeks, then 2 weeks to New Zealand, then I came back to Australia. And on each port, I got on a boat in Sydney, and I had a stop in Melbourne and in Perth to say goodbye to my friends. And then I went on to Ceylon. Had a couple of days in Ceylon. I met some friends on the boat, and we spent the time together. And then we flew to Bombay, from where we took a bus to Europe. And it was just merely transportation. It was really on the cheap because none of us had money. And it was a most eye-opening experience.
Franny, where were you from before Australia?
I was from Europe.
From Europe, okay.
Yeah.
And so you saw the world as a young girl, and it had a lasting impact on you.
It had a lasting impact, and I still live off that. It was the best education ever done in the real, learning about the cultures, trying to learn, talk to people without knowing the language. We went through West Pakistan, Afghanistan, back to West Pakistan, and then through what was at the time, wasn't Iran, but it was still Persia.
Wow.
And then through Turkey, Greece, and then with the
Wow, that sounds invaluable. Across. That sounds invaluable, Vreni. Thank you so much for sharing. We're actually, it was great just hearing about that trip, actually. We have to take our show to a close, but thank you for calling in.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. And just a few basic announcements that we need to make before we sign off. I want to let you know that, as always, you can download the podcast from the iTunes store. It's 100% free, even though you have to go to a store to get it. Just go on the iTunes store and type in Positive Mind, and you can subscribe and get all new episodes downloaded.
And also make sure to, if you are interested, become a BAI buddy. Support WBAI all year round with a generous monthly donation. You can sign up with your credit card or send in your information. Go to give to WBAI.org, or you can go to WBAI.org and find BAI Buddy. Become a member. You get a bunch of different things, so you can check it out all online. And it's it really helps out the station and make sure that we don't have these fund drives as much.
Absolutely. The more people we can get to become WBAI buddies, the less often we'll have to go to fund drives, and the less time we'll have to be raising
Absolutely.
Money for. So please consider doing that. And as always, you can send us an email. We love hearing from our listeners. PositiveMind@WBAI.org. You can do that. You can check out our website, thepositivemind.com. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at BZH718. Julian.
Geez, make it more complicated, Ben. God. I'm just Julian G. You can find me all over the place if you look up. My name is complicated enough on its own. G-I-U-L-L-I-A-N. But yeah, thank you for tuning in today, dealing with our little bit of hiccups going on, and tuning into WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City and The Positive Mind. Tune in tomorrow for another exclusive new Positive
right.
Mind program with myself, Julian Joiello, and Ben Starr. And thank you for listening. Here's a little bit of music for you guys on the end.
It's very nice to go traveling to Paris, London, and Rome. It's oh so nice to go traveling, but it's so much nicer, yes, it's so much nicer to come home. It's very nice to just wander the camel route to Iraq. It's oh so nice to just wander, but it's so much nicer, yes, it's oh so nice to wander back. The mamsels and fräulein and the senoritas are sweet, but they can't compete, 'cause they just don't have what the models have on Madison Ave. It's very nice to be footloose with just a toothbrush and comb. It's oh so nice to be footloose, but your heart starts singing when you're homeward winging across the phone. And you know your fate is where the Empire State is. All you contemplate is the view from Miss Liberty's dome. It's very nice to go traveling, but it's oh so nice to come home. Find the Machen and the gay muchachas are rare, but they can't compare with that sexy line that parades each day at Sunset and Vine. It's quite the life to play gypsy and roam as gypsies will roam. It's quite the life to play gypsy, but your heart starts singing when you're homeward winging across the foam. And the Hudson River makes you start to quiver like the latest flivver that's simply dripping with chrome. It's very nice
but it's oh so nice to come home. No more customs, burn the passport, no more packing and unpacking. Light the home fires, get my slippers, make a pizza.
Go to the website WBAI.org, click the donate button, and make a difference.
Got questions about your computer?
Mm-hmm.
Want to know about the latest electronics?
Yeah.
Are you confused by high-definition TV?
A little.
Well, tune into WBAI every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for the Personal Computer Show.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's every Wednesday.